All right. That is the beautiful sound of Frank Martin here in the studio for CMC Community Stories. Frank, how are you doing?
Very well. Back from California.
All right. Welcome back. This is Seth Goddard on air here in beautiful downtown Carbondale with I got Radio Raleigh Burley here helping out on the board. And today's CMC Community Stories will feature Matt Gianeschi, who is the COO of CMC. That's enough C's, probably. As well as Rachel Pokrant, giving us the news live from Leadville. We'll be talking with Rachel. She is the dean of our Leadville campus up there at 10,000 feet. But right now, I'm going to jump into Mr. Gianeschi's take on the Gallagher Amendment. He and I had an opportunity to sit down in the studio, kick back a little bit, and talk about what the impact is of the Gallagher Amendment and how many of our tax districts, including CMC's own, are being impacted, and how the ballot may be calling to you to get out and vote, vote, vote. So please, if you haven't done so already, definitely educate yourself, pro and con. Don't just listen to what's coming over your ear goggles, but read for yourself and educate yourself. But right now, Matt Gianeschi. Okay, well, I am pleased to have in studio today Matt Gianeschi, the COO of Colorado Mountain College. Matt, welcome to studios.
Thanks, Seth. Happy to be here.
All right. Well, we're lucky to have Matt in here with us today because we have a couple of items coming up that are going to be facing CMC. For all you CMC alumni and community members, you might be very interested to hear what Matt has to say regarding some of the plans for our future. And also, we're going to dive a little bit into where Matt came from. Mr. Gianeschi, all the way from the Front Range. Why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners a little bit about how you came to sit in the COO's seat of Colorado Mountain College?
Well, we'll see how interesting it is to your listeners. Came to CMC nearly 5 years ago, so I was able to move up here at that point after spending nearly all of my career in the Denver area. I was raised in Denver. Actually attended Denver Public Schools, grew up in the inner city of Denver, and I spent most of my time working on the legislative side of the House down in Denver, so I was pretty busy at the Capitol. I worked under three different administrations three different governor's administrations, working either in the Department of Higher Education or directly for a governor. So spent some time there. But I'll tell you, as a kid who has some roots up here in the mountains, it was always an aspiration to take the first opportunity I had to finally make the move to get up here. And that came nearly 5 years ago after President Carrie Hauser joined CMC. She joined in December, and I joined shortly thereafter. I was hired, I think I was offered the position in January or February and started in March.
Wonderful. Well, I think we're certainly lucky to have the two of you up here in the mountain region. And now you've been here for quite a while, and I understand that you're also, you've sort of taken the approach that many of us here in the mountain region have taken, which is giving your time, in addition to your expertise, is a critical part of our community. And so I understand that you not only sit behind a desk, but you also every now and then head out onto the field. So some of you may know him, and for those kids out there listening, you may recognize his voice because he's also a lacrosse coach. And so I don't really know exactly what brought you into that, but do you have any good stories from the fields up in the Roaring Fork Valley?
Sure, I have a lot of stories. And the kids listening, they may not recognize my voice because I'm not yelling and telling them to get in position and where to move. So I've coached lacrosse here since I've moved up here, actually. I think I was found out. People had learned that. I had played in college, and pretty soon thereafter, people learned that I also had children that were playing or aspiring to play. So it wasn't soon or too long until people were connecting the dots and saying, hey, since your kids are going to be out here anyway, maybe you could spend some time and coach with us. And so, yeah, I coached with the Roaring Fork Lacrosse Club for a time here in Carbondale, and I have been since coaching with the Aspen Lacrosse Club up in Aspen, which is really, in a lot of ways, valley-wide. There are a number of student or athletes that are from Carbondale and Basalt and up to Aspen, of course, and so I've been able to spend a lot of time. But, you know, I'll say that the Valley is home to a pretty robust lacrosse network. And so we have a very active adult men's league as well. So it's pretty fun. But yeah, so I spend time with them, get to go out a couple times a week. You know, I'm usually racing to the fields, taking off my suit, replacing, you know, swapping out a suit for some shorts and some, you know, cleats and running out on the fields to spend some time with the kids. And it's been great. It's probably the best hour and a half of my day. It's the time where I can let go, spend some time with the kids, and get to know their families. You know, over the last several years, it's a way to integrate or connect with the community in a way that you can't do professionally, where you can, you know, you get to see the parents and the kids, you know, in the highest of highs at times and the lowest of lows, and to get to see them build their character and try something new and to work hard for something they care about and become a team. And those are the things that matter more than the score. But it's a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed getting to know the families of the Valley.
Well, you mentioned building character and getting to know what it's, you know, like to be a community member here. It also makes me think about all of those community members who many years ago voted to allow CMC to exist, and they voted to fund CMC. But right now, when you put that suit back on and you have to get back behind your desk or head off to meet with constituents, it seems like we're in somewhat of a bind right now, as we, although we voted a while ago, since the vote happened over 50 years ago to establish CMC, back in the 80s, the early 80s, I guess when John Elway was still playing for the Stanford Cardinal, somebody decided it would be a good idea to adjust the Constitution. And now, as a COO of a tax district, you're faced with a proposition on the ballot, 7D, which was going to greatly affect the future of Colorado Mountain College. And I wonder how you see what the trustees had decided, which was they went ahead and moved to put 7D on the ballot. And you were in that meeting. Do you know, what were they thinking? What was what is your view, and I guess Dr. Hauser's view as well, of the future of CMC and how you may adjust as we move through this election?
Yeah. Well, let's start with a couple of facts regarding the how CMC works. And I think there are times when I'm in communities and they're not aware that CMC is as big as it is and as diverse as it is. So just to cover a couple of the facts that, you know, Colorado Mountain College, we operate 11 campuses across a service area that includes 9 counties. We have a service area larger than the size of the state of Maryland. It is an enormous service area, not to mention, covered with numerous mountain passes and many small communities. And if you go back 50 years ago, the founders of CMC were smart in that they understood that we don't present to the state a strong argument for placing new colleges. You know, so we have small communities; they're in remote locations. They are very diverse, so that, you know, different valleys have different kinds of industries that are operating in those. And so, it'd be hard to come up with a single profile for one community in the mountain region. So what they decided to do was create a tax district, which allows us to operate colleges throughout our region and allow those colleges to be uniquely tailored to each community. So the campus in Breckenridge has programs and services that are unique to Summit County, and that's different than necessarily we have, say, here in Carbondale or the community up in Steamboat, and the way that that campus operates is more uniquely tied to the Steamboat community than, say, the Rifle campus, which focuses maybe more on oil and gas and the kinds of industries that are in that area. And so it's a very natural way for us to integrate more effectively with those communities, but not something that the state would ever have come up with. And so this is something that was created by our community and for our community. So as you think about what's on the ballot now and what our trustees were thinking, our trustees are primarily thinking about preservation of what was created by the college 50 years ago. Because it's more than, the idea of CMC is not just one college, and it's not like any other place. This is about preserving, their thinking is it's about preserving the heritage of what CMC is, about the uniqueness of what CMC provides to its communities, recognizing that it's different in each community, and creating an environment where we have a college that integrates at every level. So whether it's high school programming in our local high schools where they get free tuition for college for thousands of students that are in our region, to professional training for nurses and firefighters and police officers and all of the first responders in our region, teachers, early childhood educators. That's the workforce. That's what we provide. And that's not to mention the adult basic education, GED, English as a second language, the kinds of services that are not available without the college being present. And also to include, of course, the continuing education and lifelong learning that many of our community members enjoy. And so as I think about, what and yes, I was in the room and I heard the discussion with the trustees regarding what their intent was, the concern was never about, the college being treated differently, financially speaking. It was about maintaining what we've created, and ensuring that the college can continue to provide services and continue to provide affordable education, in a way that's become a part of who we are, in the communities that we serve.
And it seems like there's a twist that was added to the Constitution back in the 80s, the Gallagher Amendment. I would say you were not working at that time in the legislation, the legislator. Have you ever seen, you spent how many years working for under governors?
It's been about 10 years.
Had you ever seen anything like the Gallagher Amendment? Do you come across anything that basically put some math into the Constitution back in the 80s that, and there's no way they could have predicted what would happen down the road?
As you mentioned, John Elway hadn't even been drafted by the Denver Broncos at that point. And so the state had less than half the population it does today. You think about the developments that are here, especially on the Western Slope. I mean, those things didn't exist. For me as a kid growing up in Denver, the world ended in Aurora, and then I didn't even know that there was a place called Parker, Colorado, and now it's like it's its own, district in Broomfield. Who knew of this place? I had no idea. And so as you think about, the state has evolved dramatically, as many places have. And so as you think about what may have sounded like a good idea in 1982, 83, and as you move ahead, you have to think about, well, how do we adapt? How does our system evolve? How do we make sure that the things that we care about, whether it's public schools, whether it's healthcare, whether it's public service and first responders, firefighters, police officers, whatever it is, that we make sure that those things can be maintained in a way where the community feels like they feel confident that the services are in place to their expectations. So you're seeing it with fire districts, you're seeing it with water districts, you're seeing it with lots of local governments. And so I think, at least where we are right now is that the growth in the Front Range over the last, call it 5 to 10 years, has been so explosive that we're now starting to feel the changes that are being caused by that in ways that I don't think rural Colorado felt before. I don't think that it was something that we weren't as acutely aware of what was going to happen. And now we are, because it happened 2 years ago and it's going to happen again next year. And if things don't change, it's probably going to continue to keep happening because of growth that's happening in other places in the state.
Have you ever seen a constitutional amendment that plays like this? Do other states have this in their constitution where growth in one area of a state would so dramatically affect another area. It feels like an urban law that's affecting rural communities, but I know when it was originally authored, that probably wasn't in the mindset of anybody.
That's part of government. Let me just say, like, that's not that people are wrong. It's that times change. So that's what makes Colorado a unique place in that way, in that it's not just, say, the Gallagher Amendment, but there are multiple things that are found in the Constitution that all may be well-intentioned, all maybe, you know, they sounded like a great idea when they were first introduced, but people at the state level call it the Gordian knot of the state's constitutional laws, where, you know, again, well-meaning, smart people who are trying to do the right thing for the state didn't recognize necessarily that there would be an interaction, negative or positive or otherwise, between or among multiple different issues that get passed over time. And we happen to be in an era where we're starting to see some of the impacts of what all of those unintended consequences, or at least maybe unexpected. They didn't see, maybe didn't realize what those impacts would be in the long run.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful opportunity for voters to participate in this democracy and get out and vote. If you haven't sent in your ballot already, please make sure to get to your local voting poll in the coming days.
And it's all mail-in.
Or mail, yes, or just, it's all mail-in. No, you can't go and personally vote.
You can.
That's my favorite part. I love to show up. So please do educate yourself and go out and vote. This is a critical time to participate in your community. And I'd like to thank again Matt Gianeschi for participating in this radio program.
Thanks, Seth.
Sure. All right, we're back in studio. Frank Martin still on the guitar. That was, again, the Chief Operating Officer of Colorado Mountain College, Matt Gianeschi, who took the time to talk with us a little bit about the Gallagher Amendment and what impact it has on all of our taxing districts. And I remind you, of course, to educate yourself. Read all the information you possibly can, for and against. Be an educated voter, and I think be amazed when you see that possibly our area could bring out the most people ever to vote. I think that would be the most amazing thing we could do.
That would be so awesome.
That would be so awesome, right? We would rock the vote. Awesome, right?
Very awesome. That would be,
we would,
that would be, I, you know, I would be so happy for that.
I would be happy too. It would feel like a revolution at the ballot box by people just showing up. But somebody who has shown up for Colorado Mountain College ever since she was a student back in her day, I believe she took Spanish, but I'm going to go ahead and try and take Rachel Pokrant off hold here. She's on the phone from Leadville. Rachel, can you hear me?
I can. How are you, Seth?
Hi, Rachel. I'm great. It's good to hear your voice from Leadville. Welcome back to the airwaves of KDNK. I understand not only are you the vice president and campus dean of Leadville, but you're also an alum of CMC as a student and an alum, maybe more importantly to our listeners, of KDNK.
Yeah. So back in, I don't know, I guess the late 80s when you could stumble into KDNK at midnight and kind of take over a radio show for a couple of hours. That was me. You know, the doors used to just stand open, and anybody could grab records off the shelf and take over a radio show.
Well, we're very professional here now.
I know. I've been there since. It doesn't feel like the same place in all the good ways, so that's a good thing.
Well, I know that you you spent roughly the past month meeting with representatives of the outdoor recreation industry, an industry with more than 7,800 companies in the state of Colorado that contribute more than, ready for this, folks, $62 billion to Colorado's economy comes from the outdoor industry. And Rachel, you were very much involved over the past month with meeting with industry leaders. And we even had an outdoor industry summit in Glenwood at the Mortgage Center. And how does CMC fit in with this $62 billion industry?
Well, I think that was the question we were hoping to continue a conversation around and also answer for the future. So about 6 to 8 months ago, our college president, Dr. Hauser, and I were in a conversation about how we look at our programs and continue to serve our communities and our students moving forward with this booming outdoor industry. And as a result of that conversation, I took on the task of leading the process of listening to our communities and gathering data about how we're currently doing, because we've been running programs in the outdoor industry space for 50 years and in many ways are the leader in Colorado in that space. And then how do we look to the future and see what's coming on the horizon and make sure that we're preparing our students for that so that they can be the workforce of the future for all these amazing communities that we operate in. So myself and our dean of our outdoor program, Cooper Malazzi, traveled from campus to campus in September and October and held community listening sessions. And then 2 weeks ago was our culminating event with sort of the big movers and shakers statewide to really listen and get feedback on what's happening out there, what do our students need to look like when they graduate in order to be the most effective employees and leaders in the outdoor industry, and how CMC makes sure that it's staying fresh and ready to meet those needs. And it was an amazing process. We have about 1,200 data points now that we're going to turn into a report and unleash on the college and the communities and start to create even greater, stronger partnerships with industry and really take a deep dive into all of our curriculum and make sure that it's being responsive.
That's exciting. I know that the Avalanche Science students are hard at work up there at 10,000 feet. And I believe the Leadville campus had the first snow park open this winter.
We had the first terrain park in the nation. The students and faculty approached me about 6 weeks ago and said, you know, we're going to have some really low temps, and we have snowmaking equipment on the campus that the students use as an outdoor classroom. And they said, we want to be the first ski area in the nation to open. And all of you that don't know what that looks like at our Leadville campus, we have a very small hill called Dutch Henry Hill that doesn't even have a lift, but it technically is used by skiers. And so their first goal was to be the first ski area open. And Loveland actually beat us to the mark. So then they came back and said, we're going to make a terrain park, and we're going to put all of our jumps out and our rails out, and we ended up being the first terrain park in the U.S.
Well, it's good. Good to hear the students are already hard at work in the ski industry.
Yeah.
I saw a photo on Instagram the other day from the CMC Leadville feed of students welding bike racks.
Yeah, I saw that today too.
Are there other projects around campus that the welding students are working on?
Yeah, they're constantly coming up with a project. They try to do a project this semester, because that's kind of the culminating activity for our welding students. So they've made bike racks. They've made snowboard and ski racks for the residence hall. They've worked on some railing projects for some of our ADA-compliant ramps around the campus.
Is that an associate's degree in welding or a certificate? What are
those are actually certificate programs. We offer two different certificates. We do not have an associate's program at this time. Most of our students actually get hired right out of that program at a pretty decent sort of $30 to $35 an hour wage. Welders are in high demand right now.
Yes, no doubt. And I know that we're also working with high school students. We've got, I believe, about 2,400 high school students around CMC that are doing concurrent enrollment. Are those students also doing concurrent enrollment up in Leadville?
Yeah, we have a really strong program with Lake County High School and also Buena Vista High School and Salida High School. Lots of transfer credits, lots of students banging out credits before they go off to CU or CSU, but We also are very proud of our career and technical programs for our high schoolers. They do participate in welding at Leadville. They also participate in culinary and a basic electrical technician program.
All right, getting the students ready to get some work done, which is always important. And speaking of getting work done, we've got Frank here who's going to tune in to remind us that, unfortunately, it seems like we've almost got our work done here on CMC Community Stories. Rachel, thank you very much for bringing us the news from 10,000 feet. Was there anything else you wanted to add to our KDNK listeners?
No, I just want to hear Frank play. I love that we've got a CMC-er playing the guitar on this show.
I know. Straight from the marketing department, fresh off of his website work, Mr. Frank Guitar Martin. I think I'm going to just get ready to sign myself off. I'd like to thank again Rachel Pokrant for calling in from Leadville, the dean of our campus, for Matt Gianeschi, chief operating officer, for spending time in the studio. And now, most importantly, Mr. Frank Martin on guitar. This again is Seth Goddard.
Take it home.
I am signing out. I'm going to let him sign in.